Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's the new
spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one,
man.
You got a question for RLM?
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Global Happiness Specialist, Rebecca L. Norrington. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part of the show. Woo-wee! What a whirlwind. What a whirlwind the show is. Reality Spirituality. Who the hell is she? What does she know about happiness? I don't believe her. She's full of crap. You don't know. I get so many controversial emails and dissenting emails, but you know what? I love the questions, and I love people disagreeing. I really do, because it really stimulates answers in me, because if I'm claiming to be a happiness specialist, I got to have some answers. And I really do appreciate the questions, the hardball questions. And this topic today, we have visited this topic about words having power, words not having power for years now. And we're going to be revisiting the same thing again today. Do words have power? The answer, when I ask that question, I get 98% of the people saying, yes, they do. They raise their hand, yes, words have power. Yes, words have power. I know I'm starting right off and going right into the show today. Well, let me say this. What is true is you were definitely taught that words have power. You were taught that words have power. So when you taught that, you tend to believe that. But guess what? Guess what else was believed decades and decades and thousands, hundreds of years ago? Who knows? I'm really bad at history with the dates. We used to believe that this world was flat, and that was a real belief. That was a real thing. That is a real thing, that words have power. Scratch that. That was a real thing, that the world was flat. You couldn't convince anyone that the world was round. So it's very important to question what you believe and why you believe it. And when did you start believing it? That's really the clue. When did it begin? Because I'm here to tell you, you were not born believing that words had power. And I have to share with you what happened to me this week, because I saw a movie. I've heard of the movie. Of course, everybody's heard of the movie. But I saw a movie this week that I hadn't seen, and I didn't know it was that good as far as the lessons. So many spiritual lessons, so many life lessons. Wow, and I can't wait to share. But before I go on, this is just for my new listeners. Reality Spirituality, what is the show about, and who is she, and what does she think she is? Who does she think she is teaching happiness? Well, first of all, let me give you my definition of happiness. My definition of happiness is the ability to be at peace regardless of what happens to you and regardless of what doesn't happen. Your peace, your happiness, your contentment, your vibration, your balanced vibration is your identity, and when that is your identity and when that is your foundation, there is nothing that happens that is going to affect that, because that's who you are. The happiness, what I'm saying is that that peace that we all have, that peace that we were all born with. Picture the ocean, picture the Atlantic Ocean, and at the top of the, you know, I've said this 100 times, but it's worth repeating. At the top of the ocean, there may be a tsunami there. There may be a tornado. There may be winds blowing 100 miles an hour. But underneath all of that is peace. Underneath all of that is peace, and that's who we are. We are peace. We are conscious energy trapped in a human body. When I say words do not have power, when I make that statement, I'm making that statement knowing that I'm going to get a lot of dissent, a lot of pushback, a lot of disagreement, a lot of that's not true. I know I'm going to get all of that. Words have power. But again, the only reason why we believe words have power is because we were taught that words have power. And whatever you learned, you can unlearn. Whatever you've learned, you can unlearn. And that is what life is about, learning what's real, not learning what's real, but learning what the truth is and learning what is not true, learning what is an illusion, learning what the programming is, learning what we were brainwashed to believe. When I talk about happiness, there is a formula for happiness. And happiness is a practice skill. I know I say it every week, but it's worth repeating because there's so many new people that listen to the show. When I say happiness is a practice skill, that's good news. That means that anyone, and I mean anyone, can practice it. You don't have to be more skilled than the other. What you do need is the commitment to practice. Just like anything else. When I was younger, I was forced to take piano lessons. Of course, you know, now you look back and say, oh, thank you for forcing me. but the same with taking piano lessons. The better I get was because of how much I practice. It's with anything else. It's with speaking. It's with writing. It's with being a musician. It's with an artist, a landscaper, a chef. It is all about the practice, my dear, wonderful, sweet audience. It's all about the practice. And so when I ask you, you want to feel happier, you want to be happier, you want to experience more happiness, I get everyone raises their hand. And then when I, you know, shoot them with the truth, hey, this is what you need to practice. What? What do you mean I need to practice not having any expectations? You mean I can't blame somebody else for how I'm feeling? What do you mean? I can't worry? Well, can you worry and still be happy at the same time? That's the question that only you can answer. What do you mean? Can I trust and worry at the same time? Which one do you think is going to bring you more peace and happiness? And when I say happiness, know that when I say happiness, it is interchangeable with peace, it is interchangeable with contentment, it is interchangeable with vibrating, it's interchangeable with that energy of feeling satisfied. You know that energy where there's nothing that's needed in the present moment. There's nothing you need in this present moment. You are totally satisfied with the moment. Oh, I just looked out the window and I have a whole family of deer running up the hill. Hello, deer. It's funny about deer. They're very skittish. Well, anyway, I digress. I got a little distracted. In the moment, back to the point. When I ask people about we want to experience more happiness, everybody's, yeah, Rebecca, let's go. But it requires practice, and it requires a constant moment by moment conscious decision, self-awareness to make choices in the moment. So you either are making choices that are going to take you closer, bring you closer to peace, or bring you closer to the opposite of peace. I like to say drama. It's a nice word. Peace or drama. And yes, you do have a conscious choice in every single moment when you live consciously, when you live through, when you live through and you're able to recognize the programming. Now, the topic of today's show, oh my God, I love this topic, and I've talked about it before, about the power of words. And when I ask people, it is an overwhelming majority when I say, do words have power, you people out there? Oh, the hands go up. Yes, of course they have power. Words have power. They have the power to hurt. They have the power to make someone sad. They have the power to make someone happy. They have the power to make someone inspired. Now, I totally get the way that words power is able to communicate with each other. Yes, communication. But as far as words being able to take away or to diminish or to subtract from my happiness and my peace, I'm telling you right now, my dear audience, no, they don't have power. Words, I'm sorry to yell at you, words do not have power. And let me explain and let me give you evidence and let me prove my point, if you will, and I say that very humbly, prove my point. The number to call in to ask me questions is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. And if you have a question for me, I have people in the queue. Just press the number 1, and I will get to your questions. This show is about problems, solutions. You have a problem, a circumstance, something's going on in your life, and you want a solution to it, which solution is going to bring you more peace and more happiness. That's what the show is about. And so one of the biggest misconceptions, and yes, I am a rebel, and yes, I know I'm alone, and yes, I know I'm a lone voice out there saying words have no power, but let me explain to you, or let me give you my perspective. Again, the only reason why you believe words have power is because you were taught that words have power. I tell the story, I've told the story, I'm just going to say it very, very briefly. Years ago, I was giving a talk, and there were maybe about, I don't know, 15, 20, 20 people, 25 people in the audience. And it was an evening talk, and one, you know, little workshop. It was just an evening workshop. And one woman brought her little girl, and when I say little, I mean this little girl was still in diapers. So she must have been 2 to 3 years old. She was still in diapers, so maybe 2 and a half or so. I'm just guessing her age. And I remember while I was talking, and if you've heard the story before, my listeners who have been listening for a while, forgive me because I just have to say this again. It's one of my favorite stories. And so this little girl was running up and down the aisles, running up and down the aisles, right in the middle of my talk. And I got to the segment in the talk where it was words do not have power. Words do not have power. So I picked this little girl up right in the middle, and I started insulting her with the best insults I could ever imagine. I told her she was stupid. I told her she was ugly. I told her that she would amount to nothing. She's a big loser. Her parents are losers, and what a horrible life she's going to have. That's right. And if people in the audience were looking at me, of course, what the hell? What are you doing? I mean, and the mom was her mouth was hanging open. The point is, after I insulted this little girl, this little 2.5-year-old, this little 3-year-old girl, I put her down, and she just started doing what she was doing before I picked her up. She started running around and back to being herself. I picked her up for a moment. I insulted her as much as I could with as many vile comments, you know, and also staying clean, as I could, and I put her down, and she just kept started doing what she was doing before. playing, having fun, not insulted. It didn't ruin her day. It didn't ruin her time. My point is that she was not programmed to believe that words have power yet. She was not programmed yet. You know, whatever has power over you, when you think words have power, that's what's going to control you. I was watching, it just really threw me this week. I'd never seen this movie. I got to a point in my life where I really wasn't into bloody movies, and I don't need to see anybody getting stabbed in the eyeball or stabbed in the heart and guts coming out. I used to do it when I was younger. I'm just not into those movies anymore. And there was a movie, and I just saw it from, I didn't even see the whole movie. I saw it from the middle of the movie, and it was Gladiator. And I'd never seen it before. Of course, you hear about it. Russell Crowe, and I'm a new fan of that Joaquin Phoenix. Boy, oh boy, can that man act. Woo! I'm bringing all that up, and then I'm going to get to your phone calls. I'm bringing all that up because there is a scene in that movie, and the Joaquin Phoenix played the character Commodus. And then Russell Crowe played Maximus. So Commodus, who killed his own father, by the way, nice guy. You know, there's so many lessons in that movie. It was just really interesting. I enjoyed the half of it that I saw. And then I went back and YouTubed some other scenes. But anywho, so Commodus was responsible for killing Maximus's mother. No, scratch that. Maximus's wife and Maximus's son. And Commodus and Maximus are face-to-face in this scene, face-to-face. And Commodus says in a really evil tone, you know, when I killed your father, no, that's wrong, you know, when I killed your son, and I'm only paraphrasing because I didn't really hear all of it. He said he squealed like a pig. He squealed and he cried for help, and I'm paraphrasing all this, but it was the cruelest thing that you could say to someone, and you murdered his son, and now you're telling how the son died to his face. Not only did he do that, he said, and your wife, and the way she died, she was, you know, brutally tortured, and on and on and on. And he's saying this to Maximus, and Maximus is looking at him. I mean, this is his family. His wife was murdered. His son was murdered on purpose by this man who's in front of him. And Maximus, or Russell Crowe's character, said nothing, was moved not at all. Just looked at him, and if you've seen that movie, there was power because Russell Crowe was in the middle of I guess the gladiator scene, and he was gaining power because of his lack of fear and because of his, you don't have power over me, you can't, you meaning Commodus, you don't have power over how I feel, what I think, none of it. You are powerless, and the words could not have been more cruel. The words could not have been more evil. But the character, Russell Crowe, the character that Russell Crowe played did not respond in any emotional way. It was a very, very powerful scene, especially when I say when you're talking about words having power. So I'm going to ask you, who do you think is more powerful? The person that allows words to either move them up or down? The person who allows a word to make them feel bad or feel hurt or sad? So my own journey, you know, listen, if somebody told me, wow, you look tired today, Rebecca, it would ruin my day. This is years and years and years ago, decades ago, when I used to believe that words had power, because words did have power. And again, I said a little bit earlier in the show, that there used to be a belief that this world was flat. A real belief. And so my point is, question your belief, especially if what you believe was learned. Can you imagine words not having any power over you? Can you imagine if someone insults you or someone says the worst about you and you're not affected? Can you imagine being so deep-rooted and so rooted in peace and so rooted in the universe? I use the term universe, so rooted in the universe that you are so nothing that is said, especially by man, a man-made term, a man-made word, can't affect you? Well, if it didn't affect you when you were younger, before you were programmed, guess what? That learned belief that words have power is just not true. Let me give another example. If you only speak English and someone else is speaking another language, well, let's just say Chinese, and they're saying something to you and they're insulting you and they're cursing you out and calling you all kinds of names in Chinese, you're not going to be affected by anything that's said. And the other reason why words seem to have power is because if you believe anything that is said about you, then of course words are going to have power over you. Of course. So your beliefs about yourself are yours, and the effect that they have over you the reason is because you have some of that inside. I don't even know if I'm making a point, but this is my point. Looking in the mirror, if you believe that you're lazy and somebody calls you lazy, then you're going to be affected by that. If you believe that you are an asshole, and someone calls you that, guess what? You're going to be affected. So it really comes down to the work that you do in the mirror first. And for me, when I believe in, listen, I ask for help. Hey, universe, help me with this. Because there was no one more critical than myself to myself. I was the most critical person for me. I was the worst. I could line up on so many things that I did wrong, that I have judgment about myself. But the revolution came from, you know, universe, how can I believe what you believe about me? How can I believe what you believe about me? And that was the question I asked the universe years ago. How do I believe, because the universe doesn't find fault with me, in my world, doesn't find fault with me. How can I believe about myself what you believe? Created from perfection. It must be perfection. You know, there's a saying, let me get to the phones. They're saying, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I don't know who said it. I don't know who came up with it. But that's what I'm talking about. Words, I know that we were taught that they're hurtful. I know that we believe that they're hurtful. Some of you believe that they're hurtful. But I'm here to tell you can get to another level. You can get to another place of evolution, and words do not, words cannot hurt, and words cannot compliment. You can't compliment me, and you can't insult me, because words have gotten to a point where they really don't mean anything. What means something is the vibration. What means something is your vibration, your energy, not the words. And I know some words have energy, but I get that. But who's more powerful? The person that is affected and moved by words, man-made words, symbols? Are you kidding? That's going to take me to, I'm going to be upset because someone thinks that what? Happiness is a practiced skill. Let me go to the phones. Hold on a second. I have a few people. Area code 914. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. What's your first name?
Hi, Katie. My name, thank you.
Hi,
for
Katie. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
You have a question?
I was wondering about work, please, if you see me working with either Joseph or Paul.
Okay, so you're asking me to do a like a psychic reading?
Yeah, is that the proper way to phrase it, or?
Well, how about this? Or however you phrase it, however you phrase it is going to be good for me.
Okay.
So can I ask you a couple of questions first? So I have a couple of questions for you, because when people call in and they ask me questions about what do I see for their future, I always like to empower the caller or to empower the person that's talking to me. So I want to ask you a few questions if you don't mind.
Of course, yes, sure.
Okay, good. And it's Katie, right, Katie? I'm just going to write your name down so I don't forget it. Okay, so in the past, in your life experiences, have you found that things that happen, don't happen? Say there's something that happens and or doesn't happen, and you look back and you say, you know what? I know that that happened to me for the best, or that was I really didn't see it while I was in the middle of it, but I know things that, this is what I want to say, things happen for a reason, and that I am served, and I am served by the universe, and things happen to serve me, and things happen for my betterment. Do you believe that? Do you know that? Have you experienced that?
Yes, definitely.
Yay! So your question about, give me your question again.
If you see me working, you know, as work, as project, not as boyfriend or girlfriend, with Joseph or Paul.
Okay, so the questions are for working, so it's not for a relationship?
Correct.
Okay, so you want to know if you're going to be working with Joseph or Paul?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a preference?
Yes.
Ah! And you have a preference because?
He's way more experienced. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have any control? What did you say?
He seems nicer also.
So you get a better vibe, from a more compatible vibe.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, my other question or comment. Now I'm going to make a comment. Do you believe that regardless of who, because one of the things that subtracts from our happiness and our peace is having preferences. And do you believe that okay, you said Joseph or Paul, we're not going to even say. And we don't even know if those are the right names, which is fine. But one of the things wherever
You had the right name.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. whatever happens, whatever unfolds, whether you're working with Joseph or whether you're working with Paul, there is a reason for each one. In other words, if the universe sticks you with the person that you don't that you don't want to work with, okay, you follow me, if you don't want to work with, there's going to be so many rich lessons. To grow, reasons to grow, opportunities to grow from sticking you with someone that you don't prefer. Are you still following me?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
And so that's why one of the things, and this is my practice, one of the things that I do is every day just tell the universe, whatever your plan is, whatever your will is going to be mine. I know now I'm getting chills just because I can feel you. And it's really a letting go of wanting or desiring something that you think is going to be, like you said, he's nicer, he has more experience, but there might be more richer, scratch the might be. Wherever the universe puts you, wherever you're supposed to be is where you are going to be. That is a fact. So my question would be, how do I, universe, my dear Katie, my question would be, universe, how do I flow? How do I grow with whoever you stick me with? And trust me, I'm not too happy about the situation. I mean, scratch that. My ego isn't too happy about some of the things that the universe, you know, throws in my lap. But the practice of universe, it's your will, it's your plan. I'm here to just play a role of acceptance, surrender. So let me ask you something. This is one of my fun questions to ask when people call in with this question is, say, Katie, what would be your dream car? What would be your dream car of your life? If you had to choose one car, you could have it in, and it's, what would it be? What is it? Is it a Mercedes? Is it a Ferrari? Is it a Rover?
Or
is it a Jeep?
Prince's red Corvette.
Oh my God, I just listened to that song yesterday on a loop. I heard it about 15 times. I love Prince. I love Prince. Red Corvette. Oh, I'm getting more chills. Okay, so it'd be a red Corvette. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're in the passenger seat, my dear Katie. You're Katie, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You're in the passenger seat of your brand new shiny red Corvette. Who's driving?
Me.
You're in the passenger seat, my dear sweet Katie.
Okay,
driving.
Gotcha. I'm sorry. I was just really in that car.
Yeah!
I was just really there. The top was down. The sun was shining. I'm sorry. It just really put me there.
That's right. So who's driving?
God.
That's right. So it's just a soft reminder that wherever you are, wherever you find yourself, whether it's with Joseph or whether it's with Paul, there's a reason. And just relax and enjoy the ride and just ask, hey, how can I grow from this? Or what are my lessons from this? And that takes a lot of, then you don't have to do anything. And you know what else, my dear Katie? It keeps you in the present moment. One of the things that subtracts from peace and happiness is future moments, past moments. Let's stay in the present moment. I had a future conversation with someone I'm going to have a conversation with tomorrow over the phone. Why am I having a conversation with them on Sunday? Why am I having a conversation in my head with them on Saturday? No, that's all ego trying to get me out of the present moment. You know what, ego, I know you. I know what you want to do. No, this is my present moment. I can witness myself. I can witness my ego wanting to have a conversation, but I know what's really going on, especially with you, Katie. You already know. You know you already have all the answers. All I am is just giving you a soft reminder.
Wow. Oh, that was just beautiful. Truly. Well, thank you
for the question, and thank you for sharing with the audience, because whoever listens to this is going to get your question, is just going to benefit whoever listens. So thank you for sharing and calling.
Thank you, and thank you for such a beautiful show. Thank you.
Yay. Call anytime, listen anytime, and share the show. Thank you so much, Katie. You know, what a great, great question. I love when people call in and ask for readings, and I don't mind that at all. The show's going to be over in a little bit, but every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, you call in. The number to call in is 646-564-9619, and just press the number 1. And you can ask me a question. But I love when people call in and they realize that they have the power. It's like the Wizard of Oz at the end where she says, "Dorothy, you have the power all along. All along. Dorothy, you've had the power." And that's all I'm doing here, is just reminding you about your power and the truth. The truth is, wherever you find yourself, I don't even care how it feels, how it looks, you are in the perfect spot. I know it's not popular. I know nobody wants to hear it, but, well, that's not true. Nobody wants to hear it, but, yeah, you are in the perfect spot. So there's no wanting to get out, wondering about the future. You don't need to wonder. It's already... Your divine plan is working in every single moment. And I love Katie just reminding us to remember that, including me. So I just say, hey, your will, universe, I give up. I don't need to do anything. You know what, too? You get to a point where there's really nothing I need to do, only what I'm inspired to do. Following inspiration in every moment. Every moment. And inspiration comes. Inspiration comes when you just listen. Listen, you know, oh, I'm inspired. No, I'm not inspired. It's very simple. Are you inspired to do that or not? Yes? No. Keep it simple. Oh, what a great, great, great show. Okay, so Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'll get to the calls next week and call again next week. Thank you for listening to Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness. This show is heard every Sunday, 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. My website, RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. I'm on LinkedIn. My Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. I have a few videos on YouTube. My first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon. And my second book, the one I'm writing now, hopefully will get done before the end of the year. Program for Unhappiness is going to be out sometime this year. And you know that Program for Unhappiness, again, the same thing that Katie was saying, same thing that she was saying, being in the future, trusting, practice trusting, practice living in the moment. So until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who you are. You're a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving. You're always changing. You're always growing. Love is patient, and love is kind. Be kind and be patient to yourself. Be patient. your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality with yours truly, global happiness specialist, Rebecca L. Norrington. Have a conscious week. And remember, happiness is a practice skill. Have a conscious week. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality Spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one,
man.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers.